Possible in part by a grant from Champaign-Danville Overhead Doors, offering pinch-proof doors, keyless digital entries, and lifetime manufacturer's warranties. Champaign-Danville Overhead Doors, serving businesses and families with professionally installed doors and automatic openers since 1959 in Ogden, Illinois. Today's broadcast is made possible with support from Lincoln Square Village in downtown Urbana. November 19th through December 17th, the Holiday Market will be open Saturdays from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. inside Lincoln Square Village with produce, plants, baked goods, arts, crafts, and more. Information at 344-3872 or online at urbanabusiness.com.
It's 7 minutes after 1 o'clock Central Time, and this is the Afternoon Magazine on WILL AM 580 and online at will.uiuc.edu. Good afternoon. I'm Jay Pearson for Celeste Quinn, Jason Croft, our technical director. Harriet Williamson is the producer of this program, and today we're calling it Talk to the Manager. It's one of those times when I get on the air with you as station manager at WILL AM and FM and online and everything else we do in the way of programs for radio. I'm program director of the AM radio station for the last 8 years, manager of both stations for 2 years. And you can call in at 333-9455 or 800-222-9455 and talk to me about just about any facet of our operation. Just a little about me. I said I've been here for 8 years, started as the AM program director, been the station manager of both for 2 years, 31 years in radio this year, half of them in public radio, half on the other side. And I'm a member of the Public Radio Program Directors Association, the Illinois Public Broadcasting Council, treasurer of the Public Broadcasting Cooperative of Illinois, member of the Illinois News Broadcasters Association, and a member of the Board of Directors of the INBA Foundation, past president of the Illinois Associated Press Broadcasters Association. That's where I'll leave it. Those are the broadcast-related activities anyway. So whatever you want to talk about, if it has to do with broadcasting in this community in general, our radio stations in specific, give us a call, 333-9455. If you're in and around Champaign-Urbana, if it's a long-distance call for you, 800-222-9455, and I will do my absolute best to answer your question. And our first call is on the line from Indiana, line 4. Hi, welcome to the program.
Hello, been a while.
Been a while since we've done this on the Afternoon Magazine, yeah.
Sure has, yeah. My question deals with digital broadcasting.
Yeah.
My understanding was that everybody was AM and FM supposed to have been on digital already. That hasn't occurred, I guess, because it's sort of a catch-22. Manufacturers don't want to make anything unless there's people to buy them. People don't want to buy them unless there's something available.
Mm-hmm.
And I know in my area, they're sure dragging their foots, which doesn't make a bit of difference to me, because one's going to have to buy a converter type if they're going to make them, or buy a new radio.
Right.
And it always made me think that what the FCC was up to in that situation.
Well, who knows?
I always thought somebody had somebody's back pocket thinking of it. I was wondering what your plan of attack is. When is it supposed to happen? I know in one of the mailings you sent out that you got some monies from, forgotten who would help you, you know, with expenditures for digitizing mm-hmm. both stations. But I just wondered what the law actually said, when it was supposed to be done, and if you don't do it, what happens, if
sure.
anything. Thanks a lot.
No problem. I'll address all of that. First of all, mention that for radio there is no deadline. For television, there has been a deadline, and most television stations, I think, have converted. Our television station has now. Not as aware of what the deadline was there or will be, but for radio there isn't a deadline. You just kind of go if you want to. And there are some benefits to it. There are some drawbacks to it. Cost, in our case, it'll cost us, off the top of my head, over $300,000 to convert both of our radio stations. We did receive about half of that from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. They had a process where you would apply for grants that would cover up to 70% of the cost or $70,000. And in the case of our FM station, we got the 70%. Our AM station would cost less to convert, so we got a lesser percentage. So it came out to about half in all. So we're in the process of going out, and we have a start. We have some seed money in a fund to provide us with that approximately $150,000 in matching money that we'll need to go through the process. Now, we have 1 year to do it. And so our priority is to do the FM, and then if we have the money, if we got the matching money, to do the AM within that 1 year, maybe get an extension or something. But our preference is to do, and the benefits would really come from the FM station. Why are stations taking so long to do it? Well, it's expensive, and nobody has the radios yet, at least not outside of some major markets. There are some benefits to it. One, sound. The way it's been described to me and what I've heard, it's the difference between listening to a record and a CD. Remember when you heard your first CD and you were like, oh, it's so clean. That's the way it sounds compared to standard broadcast. The other is, for an AM station, AM sounds like FM, which is a big benefit. It's less prone to interference from electric lines and the power lines and the lightning and the like. You can't broadcast in digital at night on AM right now. It doesn't increase your coverage area or do anything like that. And then, of course, on the FM, the other benefit is you get what's called a secondary audio channel, and you can put other programming on that. So, for instance, we start broadcasting digital on our FM station. We'll have the second channel, and we can put our AM programming on that. So people who live not in Indiana but out to the west in Decatur, Monticello, and other areas that have trouble hearing us because our signal is directional away from that. We pull our signal in from the west to protect a station out in Topeka. You'll be able to hear us. If you can hear our FM station, basically, you'll be able to hear our AM programming on the digital secondary channel. And it could end up being more than just one additional channel. You can divide the pie up. We don't know all the technical specifications on how best to do that yet. It's an experimental thing. There are some digital stations trying various arrangements. So, long and short of it is, we hope within a year we will be digital on FM and or AM, and we'll see what it sounds like. Some of the radios are becoming available. Boston Acoustics is coming out with one. Several other companies are. Cars will be coming out with them, and I think that's what's really going to drive it. It usually does drive it, so to speak. When cars get the radios, then you're going to have a lot more penetration. But in the industry, people are predicting it's going to be at least 5 years before enough digital radios are in people's hands to make a difference. I think the Boston Acoustics radio is about $250. Another company is going to be coming out with one that's going to be about $150. But, you know, you give it the Christmas cycle, I call it a couple of times. Let us get through Christmas when people pay top price for the novelty of a new technology and the price has come down. I think it's going to be an interesting thing to see what happens. You know, we're virtually doubling the number of FM radio stations with this technology, or more, as I said. You can divide up the pie in a number of ways, depending upon what kind of frequency response you need. So our plans, again, within a year, we should be digital on one or both of our stations, and we'll see where it goes from there. We'll see if anybody's listening. It's a new frontier, and it's an exciting one for us because, as you know, with the AM station, at night we lower our power drastically. We can't broadcast to the west, so we'll have some areas that you'll be able to hear AM 580 24 hours a day where you can't now, unless you're, of course, listening online. Well, let's go to line one now and see what you have. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you very much for taking my call. Mm-hmm. I want to congratulate you on eliminating Dr. Science from your programming.
You're welcome.
I always appreciated the opportunity to tell you how much that I thought that was a terrible program in terms of its laughing at people who were smart. Yeah. But I do have another complaint now, and I realize it's all about money, and that's why I send money. But I wish that you would not have taken Garrison Keillor and his program off on Sunday afternoons. Mm-hmm. It was a wonderful program to listen to, and having children in Minnesota, I relate to the stories that he had, and I certainly do miss him.
Yeah, and it, as you said, that's a financial, and I do appreciate your call. They do air it. Can you get the Purdue station up there at 920 on your AM dial?
You know, I don't know. I haven't tried that, but thank you for telling me. 920 on AM.
920 on AM, and I don't think they do it the same time we did. I think I might do it earlier or something like that. But you might tune around. As a matter of fact, what I'll do is it's WBAA. And 9:20 a.m. They're the same kind of power as we are, and they really get out. You can hear them down here in Champaign. I think you can hear them up in Kankakee.
Oh, really? Okay. All right.
You might try, and you have internet access?
Yes.
Just go to WBAA.org and search around on their schedule. I seem to remember when I was putting something together on this that they do have a replay of it on Sunday for those who missed the Sunday broadcast.
So. Great.
All right.
WBAA and 920?
920 on your AM dial.
Great. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thanks a lot. I hope that helps you. Yeah, the Prairie Home Companion, that was an economic factor this year. We just couldn't afford to continue it on both stations, so we have it on the FM station, 90.9. I know that doesn't help where that person was calling from Kankakee, because you can't really hear our FM station up there. The reason that we had to discontinue it again was financial. American Public Media took it over from another company called Public Radio International. And so in order to continue broadcasting, we would have had to pay an affiliation fee to American Public Media in addition to the ones that we pay to Public Radio International and NPR. And then we would have had to pay for the program. And so basically $15,000, is what we saved by doing that. And that's a pretty good chunk of money to us. And we're still kind of in that position where we need to do that, because of a number of factors. And, you know, one is that our government support has not certainly been increasing, and, listener support has, but not by as much as costs have been rising. So we've had this gap, and we've been working on reserves for a couple of years to try to tide ourselves over and see what would happen. Well, what happened was we're out of reserves now, so we're living on a cash basis, and so we had to make some tough decisions this year to make things balance out. We do have to balance our budget just by the nature of the beast. So that's what we had to do. Let's go to Chicago and... Line 4, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Hello.
Hi.
I was sorry to hear that you took As It Happened off. Now, of course, I'm up here in Chicago, and guess what? They're running it up here at that same time you used to run it.
Ah.
So if people have a computer, they can still hear it.
Yeah. Hey, thanks a lot for passing that along. Yeah, that's on WBEZ.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, okay, WBEZ.com. Or .org, I think. .org.
Yeah, they're a .org.
What I wanted to know was, have you considered carrying a show called Resound with Gwen Maxeyde? It's an excellent program. That show is here in Chicago every Saturday afternoon at 2 o'clock. I don't know if you've heard of it or not, but if you haven't, why don't you go to thirdcoastfestival.org, take a listen to the program. I think it would fit very well in your schedule.
Hmm. I will. That's Resound, R-E-S-O-U-N-D.
That's what it's called, yeah, Resound, okay. And the host is a lady by the name of Gwen Maxeyde.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you want more information, of course, you can always call WBEZ.
Yeah.
But I think it would be an excellent program for your schedule.
Great.
You can fit it in and, you know, that kind of thing.
All right. Well, I will take a look at it. I appreciate that that advice.
Oh, no
and,
problem.
You know, As It Happens was part of the same thing as a Prairie Home Companion, same company.
Yeah.
So we'd be affiliated with them anymore, so we can't carry it for now.
Were they on the Internet even before when you were carrying it?
They would have been on our Internet feed, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah, but anyway, like I said, WBEZ is carrying it now as well as the world every afternoon. Just before you carry it, they carry it.
Ah, okay.
So everything works out, I guess.
Great minds think alike.
I guess so.
All right. Well, thanks for the call, and thanks for listening up there in the Chicago area. How cold is it there today?
Well, it's there's a chill in the air, I can tell you that.
Well, there usually is in the wintertime.
And by the way, Denise Perry is my favorite announcer on Sunday morning, and I like to hear her with Weekend Edition, you know.
Made her day. I'm going to tell her that first thing when she walks in this
afternoon. You betcha. You know, she's one of my favorites. Her and Nan Hanson go well together.
Well, great. Well, we'll pass that along. I enjoy them on Sunday morning myself.
Okay.
Thank you much.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Bye. Let's go to line one and talk to somebody in Homewood. Hi, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi. I don't know if this is an appropriate question for this part here, but I was listening on the media yesterday, and he was remarking or made the statement that a couple of CPB officials or appointees have retired with great severance packages, and it sounds like a lot of what's been happening in the private or commercial world with the CEOs having these very large pay packages is starting to happen to the public broadcasting sphere. And what would be your suggestion for me to register my displeasure with those actions?
Well, that's an interesting question because, you could always write to CPB, but, if that's who you're pointing the finger at, then I don't know what they're going to do.
Yeah, right.
Your congressperson might be a good person because they're the ones who have to act on, legislation that affects that organization and, all of us, all of our funding. That might be somebody to register your displeasure with, and then they could take the message on and and say, hey, before we pass your funding, let's talk about this. So,
well, I'm just very concerned that the so-called public broadcasting is becoming too political here.
Mm-hmm.
And I really appreciate your programs on the media and with the guy that follows me.
McChesney on Media Matters? Yeah, Bob McChesney.
Right, yeah.
Well, so thanks. I'll pass that along to him.
Yeah, right. I mean, he's one of the reasons I contribute as much as I do, so I appreciate that.
Well,
thanks
I'll
again.
Let him know that, too. Thank you for the call. Yeah, CPB has certainly been sort of a lightning rod of attention. A lot of different things happening over the past year or so. And it's, as a radio station that gets about a quarter of its funding from CPB, from our community service grant, the big grant that we get from them, it's been kind of rocky over the past year. Matter of fact, we still don't know exactly. And here we are one quarter into the fiscal year. It started, the federal fiscal year starts October 1st, so October, November, we're almost done with the first quarter of it, and we still don't know exactly what we're going to get in the way of federal funding. So we're hoping for the best, and we'll see what happens. But there's been a lot of attention given to CPB, and I'm sure you've read the articles and the same ones that I have, and we don't know anything else, inside that we can tell you. It's just a matter of just follow the news, and you'll know what's happening, too. But hopefully a lot of the storm is calmed. I think the overwhelming response that listeners like you came up with over the past year concerning the funding issues, the funding of CPB and the money they pass on to the stations, especially in the early summer, the response that you gave to your representatives about how you thought they should approach the issue of funding for public broadcasting certainly had an impact. I'll say that. Let's go to Urbana on line one. And, first local call. Hi, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Great. Thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to add my similar sentiments to the last caller that Bob McChesney is. I just think it's a superlative show, really one of the best public radio shows in the country. So you guys have reason to be proud having him on your station. And I also just wanted to say to folks who haven't given Tavis Smiley a listen, I had never heard his show before, and I have really come to enjoy it quite a lot. Yesterday I thought was a fabulous show with his interview with Stan Williams, the guy who's on death row and facing execution today. It was just timely and the rapport that he had with the guest I found really moving. So I'm very glad that's been added to the lineup.
Well, thank you very much.
Yep, thanks so much.
All right.
Bye-bye.
And we'll pass the comments on to Bob, too, about Media Matters. We're very fortunate to have, you know, one of the nation's foremost writers and spokespersons on freedom of the press and issues related to media and scrutiny of it, the rules and regulations and the way the business goes. Bob McChesney, who's with the University of Illinois, the Institute for Communications Research here, and he had done a program in Madison before he came here. And when he came to the university, he was a guest on Focus 580 a number of times. And the process just kind of went along that we finally got together and thought, well, what about doing your own show once a week? And so he came up with an idea, and we went with it. And it's been very successful listener-wise and support-wise, so we're very happy to have it. We'd be happy to have your call, too, at 333-9455 or 800-222-9455. Lines are open. Talk to the manager. That's me, Jay Pierce, station manager of WILL-AM and FM and program director of WILL-AM 580. We can talk about programs. We talked a little about digital. We can talk about podcasts, something that's really exploded on the scene literally here at WILL. We can talk about somewhat about technical issues. I know a little bit about them, not the chief engineer or a member of the engineering staff, but I do associate with them, so we know what's happening with that. Excuse me. Tavis Smiley, I'm glad to get a comment about that. That's a program we added in September. As a part of our changes, it's the program that that came on in place of where we used to have a Prairie Home Companion on AM 580. And we do still run a Prairie Home Companion on our FM. In fact, we added a Sunday afternoon broadcast at the same time it had been on the AM at 2 o'clock. But Tavis covers a lot of ground, and we thought we'd try it. It's a new incarnation of the Tavis Smiley radio program. He had been on NPR for a while and then started a TV show on PBS. And then they started the weekly show distributed by Public Radio International, and we thought we'd audition it and see what the response is. We've had some on both sides, but some people have said that it's a really great addition. We thought it covered a lot of territory from a perspective that you don't hear a lot in the course of the week. And so, you know, take a listen to it. Let us know. Our comment line is always open at 217-333-0853. You can reach me directly at jhpearce@uiuc.edu. Be glad to hear from you. And let's go to Champaign now, line one. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Oh, thank you. Actually, all this is this call purports to be is like an acclamation for your work.
Thank you.
I think David Inge especially, but I like all of your people and what you do. I think it's really an asset to the community. And that's all I really have to say, but thank you.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you. We'll certainly take those calls. It's always nice to hear that the work that we put in is appreciated here. And, you know, David toils, it's not an enviable, well, from some ways, of course, it is an enviable position because he gets to talk to so many people and talk to you in the course of a week, interview so many outstanding people. A lot of work goes into it, though. The research that he puts in, the books that he reads, the articles, the clippings, everything that Harriet Williamson, the producer, and her assistant on Focus 580, Martha Deal, that they put together, so David will be well-informed and be able to ask intelligent questions. And Celeste, the same thing on the Afternoon Magazine. And we're very, very fortunate, I say that here as the program director of the station, to have such talent available to us and in a community of this size. We are the 210th radio market. It depends year to year as the population changes, et cetera. But there are 209 bigger than we are. And I think the talent that we have on this radio station rivals that of markets in the top 50, if not even higher or anywhere. That's me talking. I also hear that from many listeners who travel around and miss us when they're gone. So it's good to hear from you. It's good to get that kind of support. Number is 333-9455 if you'd like to ask a question, make a comment, if you have a suggestion for programming. 333-9455, our local number, 800-222-9455 is our long-distance line. It's good anywhere you can hear us on the radio. And line up the next call. I think line one in Champaign is next, so let's go to you. Hi, you're on the air, line one.
Yes, I guess I just wanted to reinforce that both David Inge and Celeste are certainly could be on national broadcasting services. They are just amazing, and I don't know how we've held them this long, but I hope we can do whatever we can to keep them in this market, because they are both so knowledgeable and so gracious no matter who the callers are. I really appreciate them.
Well, thanks, and I'll make sure they hear your comments.
Thank you.
Yeah. I think, you know, you're right. It's a unique situation that you have two people of such talent here who could go other places. But, you know, WILL and WILL listeners, it's a great place to work. It's a great town to live in, Champaign-Urbana, this whole community, this region. It's a great lifestyle. And I do have to say, the listeners, you know, you often hear the guests on the program complimenting the listeners for such good questions, for being involved in the conversation. And it really does make WILL a great place to work. It adds to the quality of the experience here for all of us working here. So my hat's off to all of you listening. And you're a big reason why David and Celeste are here, I'm sure. And I'm sure they'd tell you that if they were on the air doing this program as well. But I'll pass those comments along. Thank you for them. And now let's go down to Mattoon on line one, or line two, excuse me. Line two and Mattoon, you're on the air. Go ahead, please. You there? Line two. Mattoon? Anybody there? Well, I think we lost that call, so we'll try that one again. Let's go to line one. Hi, you're on the air. Are you in Mattoon?
Yes.
Oh, okay. You're on line one in Mattoon. Okay, go ahead, please.
Hey, I would like to also say something about your ag programming. Your ag programming is absolutely second to none. And I know they put a lot of hours in. They have to put a lot of hours in to come up with some of the stuff that they do, the commentary that they do, the people they interview are nationwide people that they're picking up here. And the people that don't know it, that ag programming is absolutely second to none.
Thanks a lot. And I will pass that on to Dave and to Todd, and I appreciate that call. I appreciate you bringing that subject up today.
Thanks.
And for listening, too, down in the Mattoon area. Yeah, the ag programming is one of those things, you know, when I come in the morning, Dave Dickey's already been here several hours. I'm coming in, filling in for Dan Simeone today, and I'll be doing that tomorrow. And Dave, I don't know exactly what time he comes in, but he has to come in like 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, earlier in the morning. And he's always here well into the afternoon. And then he goes out and he does the Outlook panels. All over the place, from, you know, down the Terre Haute area, Paris area, up to DeKalb. They've done some, the DeKalb area in Sycamore. And Todd Gleason working throughout the day at his regular job, which is over with ACES, the Department of Agriculture. And then he gets to come over here in the afternoons and do the closing market report. And, of course, in the weekend, Commodity Week. The all-day outlook, the panels they put on at the Farm Progress Show, it's just amazing the amount of work that comes out of an office that's staffed by one full-time person. And Todd, for us, a quarter time, although I know a lot of the work he does for Extension and in general in his life, you know, it's one of those things when you work here, you're always kind of working. Ideas are coming. You're in contact with people. But, yeah, the amount I tell you, the amount of work that comes out of that office it blows me away sometimes. And I know that, you know, I have to fill in sometimes for them when they're off someplace. And Tom Rogers does, too. And we do our best. I think Tom does a better job than I do, but we do our best. But, you know, filling in throughout the day, it's a full-time job to just try to fill in on a few of their programs. So and the whole web service they're offering, amazing. And it's because of your support. You know, that's what drives it. That's what keeps it going. And it's nice to hear. Thanks again for calling in with that recognition. Let's go to line two now in Champaign. You're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Jay. This is Betsy.
Hi, Betsy.
I have some more accolades.
We'll take them.
It just seems to me, as I travel around the country, I was just recently in eastern Pennsylvania, actually not far from State College, and then from in California, that we are one of the few NPR stations in the country that seems to have both AM and FM broadcasting different programming.
Yeah, there are a few of us. You know, I used to know the exact number, but it's like 10 maybe across the country. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's really great because, you know, other places, and here you can get your selection of either classical music or music programming or talk programming, and other places you're kind of stuck with what they offer.
Mm-hmm. A little bit of each, usually.
Yeah. So it's we're very lucky.
Well, thank you much for calling and noting that.
Thank you.
All right. AM and FM. Purdue University up in Iowa, they have it over at Ohio State, and there's a few others. And the AMs tend to be really old stations. Like, you know, we signed on over 80 years ago. Same thing at Purdue. Ohio State's a pretty old station. And there are a few of us lucky enough to do this, but in most of the cases, it will be one frequency. Some of them have two FMs now up at Northern Illinois University. They're lucky enough they have two full-power FM stations, one news and information and the other classical music. But here we do it with the AM and FM, and that way we're able to provide the two distinct services. So we're happy to be able to do it. Again, it's with your support that we can do it. And WILL listeners are among the best when it comes to that. That's for sure. Let's go to line one now in Urbana. Go ahead, please.
Hello. I had a couple of questions. I was wondering why Odyssey was replaced by The World. I'm enjoying The World, but I was just curious about that decision. And then the other question was how the money gets distributed among AM, FM, and the TV station when we make our donations each year. I always get the Patterns magazine about the TV, but I always call in on the AM fund drive, so I was just curious about that.
Gotcha. Well, I can answer both of those. Odyssey went out of production, and that means they just stopped doing the show in Chicago. It was produced by WBEZ. That was their noon hour talk show. It was broadcast over the noon hour there, and then we were the first station outside of Chicago to carry it by special arrangement, and we started broadcasting it, it was a few years ago. Then they went nationwide into syndication, and not enough stations carried it. That was it. So they took it out of production. And I don't know what Gretchen's doing now. I know Josh is still the producer of the show, still at WBEZ. I imagine Gretchen is. She was on the staff up there. So we were just kind of left with, the show's gone. So we signed up to try out The World and see how that would go. So you like
it's
it?
It's going well.
Well, good.
I really enjoy it. Yeah.
Good. We thought it was a kind of a unique show that, you know, kind of fit our way of doing the news at that time. As far as the money goes, the money goes to radio or television. And they usually ask you, radio or television. They might ask you what station you're listening to, but the way that the budget works for radio, it's kind of all one big budget that goes for AM and FM, and we divide it up internally here. When I sit down with myself and the FM program director, Jake Schumacher, we talk about the budget, and engineering gets some, and, you know, to keep everything running, and we have to have money for staff support and development, which raises the money and all of that. So basically, it either goes to radio or it goes to television, and it depends upon what you say. And if you say both, then it gets split.
Okay.
So that's it. We used to have it so that you'd say, like, is this money for AM or FM? And now we just say radio, because we wanted to be completely accurate about how it's going, because it, you know, before it didn't necessarily mean that FM or AM was only going to get the amount that they raised in a pledge drive, because that and there's a lot of reasons for that. How do you decide how much of the money from FM should go to pay for Ed Kieser, because he provides weather forecasts for the FM station as well as the AM, but he's mainly an AM employee. He's not on the air on the FM. Little things like that. So we decided, we'll just make it more accurate there. All right.
Thank you.
All right, and thank you very much for your support and for listening and for calling today. Let's go to line three now. In thank you, Jason, in Urbana again. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi. Since we're handing out bouquets, I think we shouldn't forget the weather staff. I think they do an exceptional job. An example was last week, and I don't remember what day the storm came, Wednesday or Thursday, and they just said, oh, we'll have and ask the meteorologist on this day, too, which I think that's the joy of that kind of staff, where you have the professional people that can say, okay, and a compliment to the whoever makes that decision, that you have that kind of flexibility.
Mm. And that was, in that case, that was Dan, the morning host, and Ed Kieser. So
yeah.
I'll pass that along to them. I thought it was a good idea, too.
Yeah. So, okay.
Well, thanks. Thank you much.
Mm-hmm. Bye.
And that's, as she pointed out, that's something that we have the ability to do, because we have the staff here, and we program a lot of what you hear on the station locally in response to your needs here. We try to be relevant and responsive to the community, and that's why we invest so heavily in our ability to generate programming here locally, as opposed to being a satellite pass-through, you know, and there are advantages and disadvantages to it. It's a more expensive way to do it, I'll just tell you that. The only way and the only reason that we can do it is because we have had such great support from listeners who appreciate this kind of service. So thank you for making it possible. Line two in Urbana, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi. One of the things I've noticed, and this is about weather, too, is that people coming from warmer climates, whether it be from New Orleans area or different countries, are not accustomed to knowing that it's really, really important to know about the weather. When we lived in Nepal, they didn't have a weather forecaster. They just told you what the probability was based on the past, because the weather doesn't come through in big fronts. It comes through in sort of monsoon or not monsoon and that sort of thing.
It's like a switch. It's on or off.
And so dealing with international students, I always tell them, please listen to WILL, because it makes a big difference if you're walking or riding a bicycle or if you're leaving town, that you know what is happening with the weather. And I can distinctly remember one time when there was Ed Kieser realized that we were in for the possibility of really, really severe storms and possibility of tornadoes. And you could hear, he came on, this is when the tornado hit Urbana and then moved on to Ogden, I believe.
Yeah.
You could tell from his voice that he was really, really worried. And that said a whole lot more to me than a lot of other things. And I wish there was a way, I don't know if you can think of ways to, I know you don't have really a budget to promote the station, but it would really be really good for, if people who are coming into this area had knew enough to turn on into WILL. We just put it on in the morning when we get up. That's one of the first things we do, is turn on the radio, and one of the things we listen for is the weather. Makes a big difference.
Well, thank you very much for calling and letting us know that, and I'll make sure that Ed and Mike and everybody in the weather office, Scott Oltoff and Mike Tenura, who's helping us out, Jay Searles, who just joined us, some familiar names from television in this area that we're lucky enough to hire part-time while they're doing other jobs.
Well, it's interesting that different people have different cues. Our friends who were here for 5 years from Nepal, they would look out at the sky, and they would tell them something different from what we are used to.
Yeah.
Because of where they grew up.
Right.
And they'd walk outside and they'd be shocked over and over again at the temperature. I'd say, turn on WILL, then you won't be shocked. Okay,
thank you very much. Maybe we should just take a recording of what you just said and we'll make ads out of it. Play them around. Thank you. Yeah, one of the things about the weather and the reason we put so much into it, it does change a lot. And I know that doesn't mean a lot when the weather is consistent for a while. And people may be like, gosh, you know, why do you put so much into that? Well, it's because of the times when you need it. Ed and I were talking this morning about how in 1957, even in December, December the 18th, killer tornadoes and Southern Illinois. We had the tornadoes that caller just talked about here. I think it was 95 that those came through? 96? 96 in Urbana. Yeah, I was just moved to town in 1995. It was shortly after that. But Ed is passionate about it, I'll tell you. He really cares, and that's why he wants to get it accurate and to get it right. Let's see. Where am I headed? Line one. And we have time. Maybe we can sneak all three of these in. Line one in Champaign. Go ahead.
Yes. I'd like to ask a question about your night broadcast.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly, about 11 o'clock, the BBC radio comes on.
Right.
I'm curious about that. I'm thinking about your overall budget, but, you know, people do have to sleep. What is your how many people listen tonight? Do you have any way of determining that, and whether you could save some money by just cutting that out for a few hours, just shut your station off to save money?
Yeah, it wouldn't save that much because the transmitter's solid state, they don't take that much electricity, and we have someone here anyway. Our FM's on, and you know we do have listeners at night, not thousands as we do during the day, but hundreds.
How do you determine that? Do you have a way of trying to figure that out? How many listeners you actually have?
We use Arbitron surveys.
Arbitron
is the company that they do. They send out listening diaries to a certain amount of people, a sample in the market, the defined market, the metro market is Champaign County, and the total survey area is Champaign and the surrounding counties. And twice a year, they send out diaries, and then they put together your listenership estimates based on that.
Send out diaries, you mean they send them out to individual people, and the individual person fills out a blank?
Listening habits, they fill out a little form of when they listen and what they listen to.
I see. So do you feel that they're pretty accurate?
Taken over a longer period of time, they are. Any given one is, you know, a snapshot. Can be really good or really bad, depending on who gets the diaries, you know, and who they listen to. And there are hundreds of them filled out for the population here. I think they usually get back 400 or 500 good ones. I could be off on that figure. I could be thinking of something else. But that's basically a statistically acceptable, I think, sample size. And if you average it over a number of them, you'll probably come up with a fairly decent number.
So, if I heard what you said, then you don't feel it's worth the cost to shut it down and start it back up then, right?
Well, I guess we want to be there for you. And, we already have someone here overnight because our FM's going to be there. It's full power at night. And, you know, it has more listeners at night probably than the AM station does at any given time. And, you know, if the weather gets bad, if a news event happens, we want to be there for you. So, and there are a lot of people who are up at night, not as many as during the day, you know. I know.
Well, but, obviously.
And with our 100 watts, it may seem halfway irrelevant, but, you know, it's still important to those who are here. And, yeah, we wouldn't save enough money to make a big difference. So,
Thanks a lot.
All right, thanks. And thanks for the idea. Thanks for thinking of our finances. Let's try to take at least one more call. Line 3 is a cell phone near Charleston. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, can you tell me what happened to Terry Gross's Fresh Air at 3 o'clock in the afternoon? I really miss it, and I hope it's coming back soon.
All right, thanks. I'll answer that. Several years ago, we were in a financial situation that hasn't gotten any better since then, unfortunately, and we had to cut that show to save the money, and it was over $10,000 at the time. Will we ever return the show? We might. It just depends from year to year on how the finances go. And that's all I can say. I wish I could make all the fresh air fans happier. But we might be able to. We just haven't been in the restore program mode. We've still been in the cut to balance the budget. But we're optimistic. Champagne line two, let's try and wrap up with you. Go ahead.
The one thing I was going to comment on was, since everybody talks about David Inge and Celeste and being so good, how about putting, seeing if somebody would like to, we could make some money by allowing other people to have them on their program, on their station. Is that possible?
Well, we thought about that.
Did you? Good.
The problem with it is, from our standpoint, is it would change the program. We'd have to format it a little differently. It probably couldn't be as free flowing. And you know what it would do then? It would, in our estimation, it would make the program less local, less of your program. If you were battling people, you know, around the country to try to call in, it would be a little less accessible for you. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And then it might change the kind of guests we have sometimes, like, you know, some of the local folks that we have, you know, some of our doctors and chefs and car repair people and the like, mm-hmm. that might not translate. So I don't know. You know, it's your show. We want to keep it your show. But I appreciate you thinking about that, and I agree. I totally agree. It would be there would be people all over. So we'll let them try to listen on the internet for now.
Okay.
Thank
you.
But thanks. Yeah, and you're right. I mean, you're exactly right. We've thought, you know, we talk about that. And we talk about that with Bob McChesney's show. And that's probably one that would translate, you know, fairly easily. And so we'll probably make an attempt to do something on that. But David and Celeste, I don't know, you know, it's not out of the question. Nothing is ever out of the question, so we'll see where it goes. I want to thank everyone for calling and everyone for listening. Some good ideas today. I'll pass along the good comments that you had. If you ever have a question about something, a complaint, you don't understand something, why we're doing something, if you think you have a suggestion for another way to do it, you know, I welcome them all, and our listener comment line, 333-0853, our regular line, 333-0850, jhpearce at uiuc.edu is my direct email, or you can use the WILLAMFM at uiuc.edu. Contact us. Let us know. Don't let that thought go to waste. We want to hear. We're a radio station that's built by you. You know, we're here for you. And this has been the Afternoon Magazine, a Talk to the Manager edition. I'm Jay Pierce, the program director of AM 580 and station manager at WILL AM and FM. And Jason Croft has been our technical director. Harriet Williamson's the producer of this program. Celeste Quinn is your regular host. She'll return later this week. Right now, we need to wrap things up, and I believe Todd Gleason is standing by in the Ag office and has some of the settlements from the Chicago Board of Trade.
Thank you much, Jay. From the Chicago Board of Trade and the Kansas City Board of Trade today, it was a higher day, especially in the bean pit, where futures traded up to 30 cents higher for the beans before they settled back and managed still a 15 to 17 cent gain. The overnight trade higher as well as last Friday's trade in the bean pit. That despite Friday morning's release of a 55 million extra bushel carryover in the beans from the USDA. And the market has moved higher. A lot of that, Dave Dickey tells me, is some stops were hit on the way up, so some computer-generated buying on the way up. And that is one of the reasons it managed to come back down 15 cents. Rather than ending up 30, it ended up 15 for the day. We'll talk about that this afternoon with Kurt Kimmel of Greenfield Marketing out of Normal, Illinois, during the closing market report. That starts at 6 after the hour of 2 o'clock Central Time right here on AM 580. From the Kansas City Board of Trade this afternoon, December wheat had a high today of 356.5, the low at 351, and the hard red winter wheat settled at 351, down on the low, a penny lower for the day. July futures, 350.5, the high, the low at 347, settlement price there, $3.48¾. They were up 4¾ for the day. From the soft red winter wheat pit in Chicago, December futures, a 299.5 high, low at 296.5, settlement price there at 299.5, up on the high 6.5 cents higher for the D's wheat. The March contract 315, the high, the low at 311, settlement price at 314¾. They were up 7¼ today. And the May futures 324¼, the high, the low at 320, settlement price at 324, up 7 cents. July futures up 7 as well, 328.5, the low, the high at 334.5, and a settlement price of 333¾ for the July wheat, up again 7 cents for the day. September futures 342.5, the high, low at 340, settled on the high at 342.5, up 7.5 cents for the SEP wheat. December corn futures at the board, $1.95 the high, the low at 192.75, settled 4.5 cents higher at 194.25. March contract, 209.25 the high, the low 205.75. Settlement price at 207.75. They were up 4 for the day. And the May corn, 218 the high, the low at 215. Settlement price at $2.16.75 a bushel, up 4.25. July futures, 226 the high, the low at 223. Settlement price at 224.75. They were 3.5 cents higher. In September futures, 234.5 the high, the low at 32. Settlement price at $2.33.25, up 3. December contract for next year, 245.5 the high, the low at 43. The red December settled 244.25, up 3 cents. December oats now, 218 the high, the low at 17. Settlement price 7.5 cents higher at 217.5. In the March contract at 205. Settlement price up 6.25. From the soy complex, nearby soybean, 602 the high, low at 582, settled a lot closer to the low. There was still a big gap higher this morning, 584, up 15.25 for the day for the January beans. March futures, 609 the high, the low at 591, settlement price at 594.5, up 16 cents. And the May contract, a 615 high, a low at 597, settled at 598.75. They were up 16.25. July soybean, 619.5 the high, the low at 603, settled at 605.5, 15 cents higher. And the August soybean, 614 the high, the low at 606.5. They settled 607.75, up 14.5. And the September's, 614 the high, the low at 607. Their settlement price up 17 cents at 607 as well. And the November contract up 13 for the day, 625 the high, the low at 608. Settlement price there at $6.11. December bean meal, 195, or rather 192.50 the high, the low at 186.20. Settlement at 188.50, up $6.90. And the January meal settled at 188 even. They were up $7.10. December bean oil, 21.35 the high, low at 2087, settled on that low, up 17. Then the January's 2102, finished 15 higher. Now here's Jay with the numbers from the Mercantile Exchange.
All right, the beef mostly higher, hogs down today. We'll take a look at the specific numbers next.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Kathy Ferguson and Morris at 815-941-3758. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
January feeder cattle on the board, on the Mercantile Exchange had a high of 114.80, a low of 114.05, and a settlement at 114.17.5 today. That was up 40. The March contract for feeder cattle, 114 even, was the high today. 113.25 was the low. 113.50 was the settlement, up 20. And the April contract closed down 35. Had a high today at 112.50, a low of 111.70. 111.75 was the settlement. Again, that down 35. Live cattle for December, 92.60 was the high. 92.05 the low. 92.47.5 the settlement, up 55. The February contract, 95.35 was the high. 94.70 the low. The settlement was 95.20, up 67.5. Lean hogs for December had a high of 62.70, a low of 62.10. The settlement 61.12.5, down 42.5. February, the high today 66.17.5. The low is 65.35. The settlement 65.85, down 5. April lean hogs had a high.